Hello, 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 everybody. My name is Jordan McClain, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. I hope you guys are having a good morning, afternoon, evening, night, wherever you are, whatever time it is. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. Before we get started and jump off into all this good wrestling, I want to get some things out of the way. First of all, subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening to it. It's available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and a host of other podcasting apps. Make sure you go ahead and subscribe. Leave a comment, a review, whatever it allows you to do. Make sure you do that. And follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram at Mr. Jordan Terrell. Excuse me. I'm on Instagram at The Jordan Terrell. Had to make a new one. Long story. Won't get into it here. Follow me on Twitter at Mr. Jordan Terrell for even more hot takes and even more conversation about professional wrestling. Now, since we got that out of the way, let's jump right into the show. So the first show we're going to talk about is OVW, Ohio Valley Wrestling, episode 1106, entitled Revenge of the Patriot. You can watch it right now over on their YouTube channel. In order to start this out, let me tell y'all straight from the beginning, this show has some fantastic storytelling all throughout. I love shows where I can pick up, so to speak, and I know what's happening without being overwhelmed with recaps and vignettes and things like that. This episode, this show in particular, did a very good job of catching me up on the storylines up to this point, but not overwhelming me and letting me focus on what this particular episode had to offer. So when we start this episode, it is Tom Coffey facing off against Tony Gunn, who I believe is the OVW heavyweight champion. Tony ends up getting the win. What I loved about this match was that it was a straight up slugfest, and you kind of saw that coming. You could look at these guys and you could tell that this was not going to be the most technical wrestling match on the face of the planet. I wanted to see them slug it out, and that is what we ended up getting from this first match. I really liked it. I think I would like to see Tom Coffey in some Hoss style matches as well. This is the first that I've seen of a lot of people on this show, OVW. So I'm just going to kind of tell you guys where I see them fitting. I like Tom Coffey and see him fitting in more Hoss style things. Shout out to New South with their Hoss tournament at the beginning of every year. Maybe he'll be a good find for that. And I like Tony Gunn's grittiness. I like that he's rough. You know what I mean? Moving along, we're going to go now into the second match. Harley Fairfax versus Jocelyn Navarro. Jocelyn Navarro picking up the win. This match was not long. It was very quick. It was very efficient. But I think that it done a great job. Again, going back to the storytelling, I knew from the very beginning who was the heel, who was the face. I knew kind of not what to expect, but I knew what I was thinking was going to happen. And both of these ladies fared greatly in this match. I think that they both ended up looking great, especially Jocelyn, obviously getting that win. Now we're going to go to a multi-man match. This is Jay Bradley and Dimes facing off against Adam Swayze and Rex, facing off against AJ Daniels and Isaiah Bronner, facing off against Dustin Jackson and Ryan Howe. Now, getting off into this match, I'm going to tell y'all something about me. I'm not a big fan of multi-man matches. I'm just not. Regular tag team matches, one team versus one team, I can handle. Rumbles, battle royals, those things I can handle because that's what is expected. But when you get off into four tag teams like this match was and things like that, I tend to not like it. What I will say, though, is that this match was very well put together. And there's another multi-man match I'm going to talk about later in the show for Pro South that, again, I think was put very, I think was put together very well. The wrestlers in this match did a great job of not overwhelming me and not having too much chaos going on at one time. I think that all the wrestlers got a lot of good shine. I think that all the wrestlers came out looking fantastic in this match, although Dustin Jackson and Ryan Howe picked up the win. I would like to see more of all of them going forward. I would especially like to see more of AJ Daniels and Isaiah Broner. Now, Isaiah Broner, if I'm not mistaken, was a part of the Black Wrestlers Matter show that happened a few months ago. I believe it was in Indiana. And so that was my introduction to him. This is my first introduction into everyone else in this show. And like I said, I think that everyone else fared well. There were spots with Jay Bradley and Dimes where they played off the size difference pretty well, because Dimes is smaller than all of the other competitors. But I think that they've done a good job of showcasing his size versus everyone else's, but not having him look too comic, not having him look too crazy, and not having him look unbelievable. I like Adam Swayze and Rex as well. There's something there, and I can't really say what it is between Adam Swayze and Rex, because I just don't know really what it is. But there is something there that I would like to see. Dustin Jackson and Ryan Howe, I'm not sure if these two are regular tag team partners, if they're an actual tag team, or two singles competitors who were put into a tag team. But Dustin Jackson really has a great look about him. He's somebody that I would like to see more of as well. AJ Daniels, Zero Gravity. What can I say? Y'all know that I like wrestlers like AJ Daniels and Isaiah Broner. You know what I mean? Their styles clashed, but they still work well together. And I think that that makes a fantastic tag team. Too oftentimes we get tag teams where there's two big men who wrestle the exact same style, or two cruiserweights who wrestle the exact same style. These men wrestle, I believe, from what I've seen, they wrestle completely different styles, but the styles complement each other, the wrestlers complement each other, and that to me is a great sign of a tag team. I don't know if they're an official tag team. I believe on commentary they said that they were not, although that they had been teaming. So I want to see more of them as a tag team, and I want to see more of them individually. This, surprisingly, this multi-man match was my match of the night. I know, I just said in the beginning of this, I don't like multi-man matches. But I feel like this match was done correctly. Like I said, it was done in a way that everybody got showcased, but it did not overwhelm me. You know what I mean? It did not make me feel like, oh my God, there's so much going on. I can't focus on this match. Now I have to do something else because there's just, everyone's here, everyone's there, everyone's everywhere. It wasn't all that. It was very concise. It was very to the point. Everyone did what they were supposed to do. And I can appreciate that, especially out of multi-man matches, because they do tend to be a cluster. So this was my match of the show. Another note that I have here, LOB might be my favorite thing in OVW. I vaguely remember LOB from when I watched OVW months ago. But again, this was one of those moments that I said, like in the beginning, there was fantastic storytelling. They told me what LOB had done the previous week with Al Snow, but they did not overwhelm me. Even when LOB came out this time and ransacked the place, it wasn't overwhelming. They came through, they did what they needed to do, they said what they needed to say, and that was that. I can absolutely appreciate that. Now moving on to our final match in OVW 1106 Revenge of the Patriot, we got Roman Rozelle taking on Luscious Lawrence with Dylan McQueen. One of my notes that I have here is automatically to the reverse finish. Again, fantastic storytelling. Roman Rozelle locked in his finish on Luscious Lawrence. Luscious Lawrence tapped out, but Roman Rozelle did not release the hold, to the point where referees had to come out and the ref for the match let it be known, if Rozelle did not release the hold, then the referee would reverse the decision. So ultimately, Luscious Lawrence ended up winning the match through disqualification. But I think that that was fantastic storytelling in the sense that you tell just how irritated, just how off kilter Luscious Lawrence has made Roman Rozelle to the point where he doesn't care if he actually wins the match. He just wants to hurt Luscious Lawrence. I really, really love that. Luscious Lawrence has something about him as well. He has a certain quality to him that you just don't see that often. I personally think it's the hair. But, no, in all seriousness, though, he does have a certain quality about him. I can see him going to a major promotion and being a major problem in that major promotion. Big shout out to Dylan McQueen, who is showing up everywhere. He's showing up here in Alabama at New South. He's here on OVW. He was just in Tennessee at the Flawless show. Big shout out to Dylan McQueen, man. He's everywhere. And I can appreciate that. That, ladies and gentlemen, is OVW 1106 Revenge of the Patriot. Next, we're going to be talking about ROW, Reality of Wrestling, their Swing Vote Drive-In Special Part 1. This is Booker T's promotion in Texas. First off, big shouts out to them. ROW always does a fantastic job at production. You almost watch ROW and forget sometimes that it is an independent promotion. And this drive-in special that they're doing, I want to say they're probably the first, at least the first to my knowledge, promotion to do something like this. Obviously, in the time of COVID, it is it's challenging everyone. You know what I mean? You got to be unique. You got to do something different. And I think that ROW has done perfect with that. So we start this show out with Edge Stone taking on Mysterious Q for the TV Championship. Mysterious Q is your champion going into this match right off the top of the bat. Edge Stone and Mysterious Q are absolute money. If someone is not willing, and I'm talking to these major promotions, WWE, AEW, Impact, any other major promotion out there, if you are not willing to throw money at Edge Stone and or Mysterious Q, you don't know how to do business. That's just where I'm at with this. Both of these men have amazing looks to them. Both of these men have charisma coming out of their freaking bodies, just charisma oozing out everywhere. And this match proves that they are both athletic, they're charismatic, they can do what they need to do, they can tell a fantastic story in the time that they were given. I love Edge Stone. I don't even think Edge Stone is a veteran yet. I think he's still considered a rookie in the business, if I'm not mistaken. He's only been in about a year, something like that. And he's already making all the waves, from what I understand. I personally love Edge Stone. Mysterious Q is a veteran down there in ROW. So putting them together, I think, makes perfect sense. Putting them in a program, especially for a title, makes perfect sense. And Edge Stone came out with the win. He is your new ROW television champion. This is my match of the night. First match of the night, it's my match of the show. I'm telling you. that's how good this match is. If you want to see a very, just such a well put together match with two fantastic athletes who know what they're doing when they get in that ring, seek out Reality of Wrestling Swing Vote Drive-In Special Part 1 and watch the very first match. Edge Stone versus Mysterious Q for the television championship. Next up, we got Rachel Rose versus Jenna Lee. More great storytelling. This is a great underdog story. Rachel Rose comes in as the veteran, as the cocky veteran in this match. Jenna Lee comes in. She didn't come in as a character. And I like that. You know what I mean? In this, we all know that this is a, or at least it tends to be, a character-driven business. So when someone has a gimmick, especially a martial arts or a karate gimmick, it can be a little hokey, you know, what the hell? It can be all that. I didn't get that vibe from Jenna Lee. I don't know her personally to say whether she is a martial artist, but I didn't get that vibe from her. I think that she and Rachel Rose played well off each other. The surprise victory at the end for Jenna Lee is also great storytelling because it sets up to tell this story even further. You know what I mean? Rachel Rose being that cocky heel, you know, Jenna Lynn got lucky or something. You know what I mean? So I can see this continuing even further. Rachel Rose is also on my list of people to watch. She has a certain quality about her, man. I'm telling you, she's going to be a problem when she gets it all put together and gets to that next level. Rachel Rose is going to be a problem. Make sure you guys are looking out for her. Next up, we got Cameron Cole versus Moonshine Mantel. The character work in this match is on point. Moonshine Mantel looks like an ass kicker. He looks like somebody that you do not want to cause a problem with in a bar. Cameron Cole looks like that snobby California douchebag kind of wrestler. You know what I mean? He looks like the kind of guy that you just want to punch in the face. So I think character-wise, putting them together made perfect sense. And they played off each other really, really well in this match. It's been a couple days since I watched this show, but one of my notes that I have on here is Spine Buster Spot. Anybody who knows me knows that I love a good Spine Buster. So what I'm thinking is that Moonshine Mantel, being the bigger man, caught Cameron Cole with a huge Spine Buster that made me get out of my seat. But like I said, this match, great storytelling, great, great character work. Cameron Cole picked up the win in that match. Our final match for this episode, Will Alday versus Gino Medina for the Texas Championship out of ROW with Rex Andrews as the special guest referee. Now, I love this match, and this easily could have been match of the show for me. Obviously, Edge Stone versus Mysterious Q took that. But this, I think, is a very close second for match of the show. You could argue, and I probably would not argue with you, that this is match of the show. Gino Medina is really good. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he is currently signed to MLW. Of course, MLW couldn't operate within COVID-19 like everyone else had to stop. But if I'm not mistaken, Gino Medina is signed to MLW, and it makes sense why. I think that this match, and just about any match that you see of Gino Medina's, will prove to you why he deserves to be signed somewhere. Gino Medina has the capacity to be the next big Latin star in professional wrestling. He's got a look about him. He's great with his character. He has his character down pat. And he is so good in the ring. One of my notes on this match is, this match is very technically sound. On this particular episode of ROW, this match is going to be the most technical match that you watch. And they're so fluid with each other. Will Alday and Gino Medina are so fluid with each other. They move together so well. Will Alday has a certain cruiserweight quality about him. Not that he can't be, you know, a world champion, but he has a certain cruiserweight quality about him that I really like. I would love to see him go up against, for some reason, watching him, I'm not sure why, but watching him, I see Brian Kendrick. I don't know if it's the hair. I really think it's just the vibe that Will Alday gave me. He really gave me Brian Kendrick vibes. Like I said, Gino Medina could easily be the next big Latin star in professional wrestling as long as he has the tools given to him and the opportunity. Gino Medina can go very far. The special referee, Rex Andrews, they mentioned on commentary, the Texas Championship was actually created for Rex Andrews. He was the first ever Texas champion. I believe he and Gino Medina also have some sort of heat with each other, so that made it even more special that he was the special guest referee. They did some great callbacks during this match. Shout out to commentary, Booker T and Brad Gilmore. They did some fantastic callbacks in this match to explain to you why it's important that Rex Andrews is special referee, why it's important that Gino Medina and Will Alday are in this match. Neither one of them held the Texas championship before. So it was special on that front. We knew one of them was going to get their first big win in a while. Gino Medina, I believe, has been champion before in ROW. Will Alday, I think this is his first championship in ROW. So all around a fantastic match. Like I said, you could argue that this was the match of the show and I wouldn't put up a fight. Fantastic show all around. I'm going to be reviewing part two, I believe, comes out Sunday. You're hearing this on Sunday, so I believe it comes out today. And I'm going to be reviewing that on episode two of the following podcast, The Schedule for One Fall. Big shout out to Booker T. Big shout out to everybody on this show. Hey, somebody signed Edge, Stone, and Mysterious Q. I'm not even joking. Get your money up. That's the best way to do it. So the final show that we're going to talk about on this episode is Pro South Wrestling coming out of Piedmont, Alabama, episode number 521, Wicked Havoc, their annual Halloween show. This was a fantastic show from top to bottom. Every match on this episode, I literally had a rough time trying to decide which match I would choose to be match of the show. That's how good this show was, so well put together. So big shout out to the Pro South fam down there in Piedmont. They had me and Tevin out for their 500th episode, I believe it was. This episode, though, is one of the better ones that I have seen. I've been watching Pro South for about a year and a half off and on, pretty steadily, though. And this show, their Wicked Havoc show, was one of the better cards that I've seen. We're going to jump right into it. The first match of the night, Brandon Watley taking on Brian Blaze to find out the number one contender for Cameron Keith's All Out Championship. One of the notes that I have is I love the style juxtaposition between both of them. They're both strikers. Brandon Watley is more of a technical striker. He'll hit you with those martial arts kicks versus Brian Blaze, who is more of a brawler. And I like that. I think that it worked very well in this matchup. I love that there was storytelling with Brian working Brandon's legs. You know, that's a kind of lost art, I think, in professional wrestling. Now, don't y'all jump on me. I'm not a professional wrestler. I never have been. But all I'm saying is I don't see too many matches nowadays where an opponent targets in on one part, especially the important part of their opponent's arsenal. Brandon Watley's strength is in his strikes, in particular, his kicking. So Brian Blaze zeroing in on that, trying to take out his legs throughout most of the match was fantastic to me. I love that storytelling. Big shout out to both of them. Big shout out to B-Watt for actually coming out with the W. He is now the number one contender for the All Out Championship. That's going to be a good match. Him versus Cameron Keith. They have some history with each other, which they mentioned while Cameron was on commentary and Brandon was going backstage. They kind of had a little thing with each other. So that's going to be a great match. Next, we're going to move to the Pro South Tag Team Championships. Black Lariats Matter. That would be Joe Black and William Huckabee taking on Southern Strong Style, J2 Strong, and Proc the Croc. I believe his name is Johnson. I'm sorry, sir, if you hear this and I got it wrong. I think it's Johnson, though. So going into my notes, again, more storytelling, the experience factor. Joe and William Huckabee have much more experience than Southern Strong Style. I believe it was said on commentary by Shane Knowles that Southern Strong Style has less than 2 years experience between the two of them. And I love that they pointed that out, because looking in this match, you really couldn't tell. Those boys are good. Southern Strong Style, they're really, really good. Jay Too Strong and Joe Black had an early Chop Fest, and it was the craziest thing to see. Joe Black, I think, has probably the hardest hitting knife edge chops in the business. But Jay Too Strong stood there and took it like a champ. And that's what I like to see. I don't like to see my wrestlers backing down. I don't like to see wrestlers quitting and giving up and showing that weakness. You know what I mean? Show this OG, show this vet that you can stand toe-to-toe with him and you deserve the spot that you have. I think that's what Jay Too Strong and Proc the Croc both did. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Proc had a similar Chop Fest with William Huckabee, and they both stood their ground, you know. But that's something that I love to see, and something that I wanted to tell y'all. I think in my heart of hearts, Joe Black is the best wrestler in the South. And I would then make an argument that Joe Black is the best wrestler in this country. And I'm not even playing with y'all. Joe Black is, at the very least, the most well-rounded wrestler in this country. He can strike with you. He can get real technical on you. He can get your ass with a submission. He can do all these things, and not very many wrestlers can pull that out of their arsenal, which is what I love so much about Joe Black. This ain't a Joe Black Love Fest episode, but my God. I believe I would put money that Joe Black can be, should be, and is going to be a world champion in every single promotion he works. If I'm not mistaken, Southern Honor Wrestling out of Canton, Georgia has him as their heavyweight champion. And that's exactly where he deserves to be. Joe Black is that damn good. He deserves all of that. So the next matchup we have is Aleister Crowe taking on the debuting Reynolds. If you have not been watching Pro South before this episode, Reynolds debuted, I want to say, maybe 2 weeks ago. And from the moment I saw him, from the moment I heard him speak, I said, oh, this guy is going to give us something different. I love really unique gimmicks. I love really unique characters. And from the very beginning, his interactions with Eric Silva, I knew that this guy was going to give us something different. He laughed throughout this entire match. For most of the match, Aleister Crowe was in physical control, but Reynolds was in mental control of this match from the very beginning. For some time, he didn't give any offense because he chose not to give offense. There were times where he would stand there with his hands behind his back and let Aleister Crowe do whatever it is that Aleister Crowe wanted to do. And then Reynolds just laughed at him. And then finally, Reynolds ended up turning it up. Reynolds won this match by submission, I believe. And I don't think I told y'all who won the tag team match. Black Lariat's Matter retained the Pro South Tag Team Championships. But Reynolds won this match, I believe it was by submission. Whatever that is, whatever Reynolds has going on, whatever he's bringing to the table, I'm on board with it. I'm on board with it. He has a great look. Obviously, his gimmick is, whoa, it's crazy. It's out there. I'm on board with whatever in the hell it is that Reynolds is giving us. Moving on, we've got Ace Haven and Damian Serratone taking on Shane Marks and Aaron Black. Beautiful power slam from Shane Marks is what I have in one of my notes. And I distinctly remember what this moment gave. And it was just that, a beautiful power slam. You know, power slams are one of those moves that's depending on who it is, it can look kind of messy. You know what I mean? I think that Dustin Rhodes, a lot of us know him as Goldust, has one of the more beautiful power slams in wrestling. I think that Randy Orton has a very beautiful power slam in wrestling. And now I believe that Shane Marks has a beautiful power slam in professional wrestling. Damian Serratone picked up Aaron Black. I ain't trying to say nothing. Aaron is my homeboy. And even if we wasn't homeboys, hey, homie, don't hurt me when I say this. But Aaron ain't no small dude. You know what I'm saying? And looking at Damian, Damian is a smaller dude. Or at the very least, he's much smaller than Aaron is. You feel me? So I kind of popped when Damian Serotonin picked Aaron Black up for he and Ace Haven to do their finish and get the 1-2-3 in this match. Ace Haven and Damian Serotonin won. I want to talk about the undeniable, as they are called, Shane Marks and Brian Blaze, and I believe there's a couple other guys involved. And I want to talk about, Peach State Wrestling Alliance. Now, I say I want to talk about it. I don't actually know anything about either one of them, but I put it in my notes to remind myself to mention them so that I can go and seek them out anywhere. If anybody listening to this knows where I can see some Peach State Wrestling Alliance shows, if maybe they're available on YouTube or Fight TV or somewhere, let me know, because the undeniable Shane Marks and Brian Blaze made me want to watch. You know, they put it over beautifully. And now I want to see more. That's really all I got for that. Next up, a seven-man match. Yes, a seven-man match for the YouTube Championship. Now, this was that match that I mentioned earlier in the show when I was talking about OVW. I don't like multi-man matches, but this one was done well. It's because when Sean Christopher came out, when Sean Christopher came out, he revealed that it would be an elimination gauntlet style match. See, that I can handle. Again, a lot less chaos. It's a lot less chaos to have four men with a single elimination stipulation than it is to have seven men all in the ring at one time, all of them fighting to get just one pinfall, and boom, they're the winner. But this match featured Scott Patterson taking on Shane Mako, taking on Sean Christopher, taking on the YouTube champion, Robbie Vile, taking on ERC, taking on Roma Miller, taking on James Hardy, as I said, for the Pro South YouTube Championship. So some people ask me, you know, where was my money, you know? At first, I picked Shane Mako before I realized that everyone was who all was going to be involved in this match. Sean got announced. I got really excited for Sean because I love Sean. He knows that. But I stuck with my pick, Shane Mako. I thought Shane Mako was going to come out of this thing as the YouTube champion. Shane Mako, like a lot of other people that I have mentioned in this show, has a star quality. When he gets it all put together and he gets on that next level, you're going to be paying attention to Shane Mako. Mark my words on that. So I picked Shane Mako to win the YouTube Championship. If you don't know from listening to the Marking Out podcast that my best friend and I had, I'm not the best at picking picks in tournaments and multi-man matches and things like that. And this was no different. Shane Mako got eliminated first, followed by ERC getting eliminated. I don't think I've seen anything of ERC. He might be a part of that Peach State Wrestling Alliance that I need to look up. But I liked what I saw out of him. James Hardy actually got injured before he even got in the... I laughed. I'm sorry, James. I didn't laugh. That was rude. He actually got pushed by ERC. I don't think anyone saw that. Shane Knowles and Wicked Nemesis on commentary, I don't think that they saw it. But ERC actually pushed James Hardy. James, if I was you, I wouldn't take that. That's just me being messy. Don't listen to me, James. After James Hardy, Scott Patterson then gets eliminated. Roma Miller then gets eliminated. So we're down to Sean Christopher and Robbie Vio. Sean Christopher gets eliminated. Robbie Vio retains the YouTube Championship. I loved this match. For it to be a multi-man match, I really, really loved this match. It was done very well. Big shout out to the team down at Pro South for making that match palatable. Next, we're going to go against a Hoss versus Hoss, big man versus big man, Orion Bishop versus my guy, Austin Towers. Austin Towers picks up the W in this match. And in my notes, I have to talk about Orion Bishop's strength. That man tossed Austin Towers over his head in an overhead belly to belly. Now, in my mind, again, I ain't no wrestler, so I don't know how difficult or easy it is to do a belly to belly, let alone an overhead belly to belly. In my mind, it's kind of difficult. And also in my mind, it's even more difficult because Austin Towers is not a small man. So, although Orion Bishop is extremely strong, Austin Towers is bigger than him. So, to watch Orion Bishop throw Austin Towers as he did, my God, the strength of it all. The strength of the Black Panther. I'm not talking to Tevin. Anyway, yeah, that was fantastic. This match also had some really intense storytelling at the end. It was edge of your seat kind of storytelling with Wicked Nemesis, Orion Bishop's manager, getting involved and Orion Bishop hitting that big spear on Austin Towers. I was on the edge of my seat at that point. You know, because this match could have easily gone either way. I knew that Austin Towers, he's had a banner year in Pro South, man. He's picked up some big wins over Logan Creed, Joe Black, which is still probably my favorite indie match that I've seen this year, Austin Towers versus Joe Black. I'm not sure which episode that is, but it is on Pro South's YouTube channel, so you might have to go back and find that, but I encourage you all to seek that match out. He won their Battle Rumble, which guarantees him a shot at the Pro South Heavyweight Championship. Austin Towers has had a banner year for Pro South, and I want to, if I can, just take a little minute and express how proud I am of Austin Towers. You know, I followed Austin Towers since he began training in Atlanta how many ever years ago. I've been following him ever since. My first time seeing him live was at Rocket City Championship Wrestling about 2 years ago. And, you know, meeting him and getting to know him and knowing what he's been through as far as being in this business, to see him have such a breakout year, I'm so incredibly proud of Austin Towers. I personally believe that all these lists that are going to be going around here in about a month of, you know, who's the most improved, who's the MVP. I think Austin should be taking home some of them awards, man. Really, for those two categories right there, most improved and MVP, because he's been tearing it up, not just in Pro South, but he's been other places. He just debuted in Southern Honor this year. Big pickup for them. I hope that they know what they have. I hope that everybody who puts Austin Towers in their ring knows exactly what they have, because you really got something special. Austin's going to be signed really soon. I feel that in my spirit. Big shout out to Austin Towers. Now we move on to Trevor Eon, versus Sin Bodhi. Listen, this match got announced over a month ago. I've been waiting a month for this match. Both men have put out promos for this match. If you have not seen them, go watch those promos, especially Trevor. Trevor is a promo mastermind. I think that, I don't know what that was outside my door, y'all. I don't know. I think that a lot of people can do some good by having Trevor look at their promos, critique their promos, and give them advice on their promos. His promos are always so unique. They're so different, and that's what we need, I think, in professional wrestling. We need uniqueness. We need creativity. Not saying that there's anything wrong with standing in front of a wall and talking for 2 minutes, but it gets kind of redundant. You know what I mean? So I can appreciate both Trevor and Sin for what they did. This was the match I was most excited for this whole night. And watching it, the only note that I have is that there was very little offense, but there was still fantastic storytelling in this match. This felt like, almost like I was watching a movie. And the movie's plot is that the devil has stepped down from his throne, and his two favorite demons are fighting to take that throne. They're just headbutting each other. That's what I took from this match, the intensity throughout this match. Like I said, very little offense from either man, but fantastic storytelling. I think as far as storytelling goes, this might be the match of the show. For me, at least. It was a very fantastic match. Big shout out to Trevor and Sin Bodhi. Finally, we come to the main event of Pro South's Wicked Havoc. Eric Silva taking on Tyler Colpret for the Pro South Heavyweight Championship. This match was, again, phenomenal storytelling. And it was slow, but it was methodically slow. What I mean by that is, every movement from these two counted. There was no wasted motion. There was no wasted moment. Everything that they did had a purpose. It had a point. There was a reasoning behind it. And that's what I think made this match so damn good. Watching it, you felt that big fight energy when this match got started, and you knew that it was going to be something to this match. You know, it ended with Aleister Crowe, one half of Attempted Murder, coming out and helping Tyler Colpret win and retain the Pro South Heavyweight Championship. If we're done with this storyline, if we're done with Eric Silva versus Tyler Colpret for the Pro South Heavyweight Championship, this was a great payoff match. It was great for both men. Tyler, he still looked strong even though he had help to win. He looked strong as in he's a dastardly kind of villain. You know what I mean? He's the kind of heel that you look at and you want him to get his. You know what I mean? That's the kind of villain that he is. And I think he looks very strong. And he looked strong without making Eric Silva look weak. Eric Silva told some great story. There was some great storytelling from him during this match, especially with the chair spot and him grabbing Aleister with that umbrella, you know, them with the left-hand path and that whole thing happening. If you don't know the story, just go watch a few episodes of Pro South and catch yourself up. You know what I mean? All in all, man, it was fantastic storytelling in this match. Like I said, Tyler Colpret, still your Pro South Heavyweight Champion. And again, if this match is the payoff for this feud, I'm good with how this ended. And I would actually kind of like to see it end. I would like to see it end for a little while. I would like to see someone else go up against Colpret for the title. Austin still has his thing, his Battle Rumble win that guarantees him the shot. So, and it doesn't have to be Austin. It can be anyone. I'm just saying, you know, I think if we lay off this storyline a little bit, go to something else for both men. Eric Silva still has unfinished business with Reynolds, as far as I'm concerned. Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and watch. And then come back to this, maybe early part of next year. I think that'll be great. I ain't no booker. I ain't part of nobody's creative. I'm just telling you what I think. All in all, Pro South's Wicked Havoc, fantastic show. Congratulations, you guys. You did your damn thing with Wicked Havoc this year. Hey guys, I'm really thankful that you guys are checking out the show. Real quick, I wanted to remind you that it's really easy to follow the podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you might be hearing this podcast. Go ahead and click the subscribe button that's on it, okay? That way you know when a new episode drops of the podcast. And you can follow me on my social media. I'm on Instagram at TheJordanTerrell. And I'm on Twitter at MrJordanTerrell. Let's keep the conversations going. You know what I mean? Now, let's get back to the show. All right, you guys. The final thing that we're going to talk about on this segment of our show where we talk about the wrestling is going to be Hunter Drake versus Blake Christian versus Jordan Oliver for the KFW Daredevils Championship. KFW up there somewhere in Tennessee. I hate that I do not remember. Is it Shelbyville? I'm not sure. Somebody listening is going to let me know where KFW is. But yeah, Hunter Drake versus Blake Christian versus Jordan Oliver. If you look at this match on paper, you know what this match is going to be. It's going to be high-flying, it's going to be fast-paced, and that is exactly what we got. All three men came out looking fantastic in this match. Hunter Drake is a young wrestler who got his start right here in Alabama with New South Wrestling, and he's quickly making a name for himself, not just as a singles competitor, but as a tag team competitor as well. Here, as I said, he's coming into this match, the KFW Daredevils champion, taking on Blake Christian and Jordan Oliver. Jordan Oliver, I believe, is still signed to MLW, so he's doing big things. Love seeing him work. Blake Christian is absolutely everywhere, tearing it up on the indies. I believe I said about a year ago that anyone who signed Blake Christian to their promotion might as well go ahead and run to the bank. Blake Christian is absolute money. He proved it in this match. He proves it in every match that I see him in. Blake Christian is fantastic. Jordan Oliver is fantastic. Hunter Drake, like I said, he's still new. He's the rookie in this situation, but quickly coming into his own, finding his own lane. He does a mean Canadian Destroyer. So big shout out to Hunter Drake for that. One of my other notes in this show is that I called it Jordan Oliver spot. And it is 11 minutes into this match. That's how good this spot was. I timestamped it, y'all. I want y'all to go watch this match and go 11 minutes in. Watch the first 10 minutes, 59 seconds, because it's all good. But 11 minutes in, Jordan Oliver does this crazy spot with all three of them. I wrote it down to describe it. I don't think I can describe it correctly. It's he snapmares Hunter Drake. He trips Blake Christian, causing Blake Christian to do a drop kick into Hunter Drake, and then he does a drop kick into Blake Christian. I probably didn't like sell y'all on it properly, but I'm telling y'all, go find this match. Go about 11 minutes in, you'll see what I talked about. I popped very hard during this match. But otherwise, fantastic match, man. Like I said, Hunter got his Canadian Destroyer off. He does a fantastic Canadian Destroyer. Hunter ended up being the winner of this match, retaining the KFW Daredevils Championship. For context, I believe this match was also supposed to feature Kevin Ryan. If you've seen Kevin Ryan wrestle, you know exactly what this match was supposed to be. And it was still fantastic with just three of them. Kevin would have added a lot of sauce to it, but it was still great without him. You know what I mean? So, fantastic match. Big shout out to Hunter Drake, man. Hunter, I've said it a lot on this episode, and I'm gonna keep saying it as the episodes go. Hunter has something, and I think once he puts it together, once he figures out that something and really leans into it, he'll shoot to the freaking stars, man. Shout out to Hunter Drake. He's very good at what he does, and he's only getting better. That's how a lot of the people on this on every card that I talked about, that's how a lot of them are. Most of them are so young that they have more than enough time to just figure it out, pull it together, really make it make sense, and then lean into it so that they have leverage when it comes to wherever they want to go. WWE, AEW, Impact, New Japan, you know, wherever they may want to go. A lot of them, they just got to, and they got so much time to do it. Just figure it out, put it together, and they're going to come out on top. I'm very proud of this new generation of professional wrestlers, man. I think the business might be in good hands, you guys. And now it's time for a segment that I call The Brass Ring. This segment is a spotlight segment where I give some shine to an independent wrestler that I think is going to do absolutely well in this business. And it is my absolute honor to say that the first person that I'm going to talk about on this podcast who I think has what it takes to grab the brass ring is Austin Race. A lot of you may not know who the hell Austin Race is. And that's okay, because before it's all said and done, you will know who Austin Race is. Austin Race is a fantastic new wrestler coming out of Ardmore, Tennessee, EWA. Big shout out to the home team, EWA. Austin is still very new to the business. He just debuted a couple of months ago up in EWA. And I've seen maybe 3 or 4 matches that he has had since his debut, and they've all been good. He has some phenomenal teachers, I can tell you that, and I know from experience of watching him, he has a real passion for this business. And it's always special for me to see somebody when they're training, when they're trying to get there, and then they finally make that leap to debuting and they're actually wrestling full time. So to see this with Austin was spectacular. And not only was it spectacular to see on a personal level, but like I said, the kid is really good. I believe Austin has what it takes to step up and be the cruiserweight that a lot of people have been missing. You know, we tend to get these cruiserweights who are not as high-flying, they're not, you know, they're only cruiserweight because of their weight, you know, but Austin, he's fast, he's agile, he does things that I've only seen in video games, or I may have seen once or twice come from another wrestler, but I don't regularly see guys doing it, you know what I mean? He has that really fast-paced lucha style. Think Rey Mysterio, late 90s, early 2000s. That's what I think of when I see Austin Race. Think, you know, Kalisto. Now, if you would like to compare him to somebody now, I would look at Kalisto. And I think that although, of course, he is not on that WWE level yet, I think with even more training, I know he has the passion, with some good guidance, and I know who's guiding him. Big shout out to Taco. I know who's guiding him. Austin Race is going to be a problem. Austin Race is going to be a very serious cruiserweight competitor in any promotion that he winds up in, every promotion, every independent promotion that he winds up in. He, I think, has the ability to come in and be a serious cruiserweight competitor. He has serious underdog mentality. He comes into every match as the underdog, needing to prove himself. And I think he is a highlight reel. He's going to come in and people, when they leave your show, are going to say, "I loved watching Austin Race." And that is why I think, ladies and gentlemen, Austin Race has what it takes to climb that ladder and grab that brass ring. Big shout out to Austin Race. That's all I got for you guys, man. Thank you so much for tuning into the very first episode of the following podcast, the schedule for One Fall. Hey, I'm really excited, man. I really am. I'm excited for the future, not only of this podcast, but but for the future of professional wrestling. If you want to talk wrestling on any level, be sure to follow me on my social media pages. I'm on Instagram at TheJordanTerrell, on Twitter at MrJordanTerrell. I'm always down to talk wrestling. If you have an independent show or match or anything that you would like for me to talk about on the podcast, send me the links. Tell me where to go. I'll get on YouTube. I'll get on Fight TV. I'll get on Twitter. I'm trying to get IWTV to maybe get off into some of that stuff on there. Hey, shoot me some links, shoot me some names, tell me where I'm supposed to go. This thing only grows if you guys grow with me. Point me in the right direction and let's make this fantastic, all right? I love you guys. Thank you so much. Be sure to tune in every single Sunday for a brand new episode of the following podcast is scheduled for one fall.